Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This hour is sponsored by almostfreeteeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Brody should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Brody may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Brody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Danny Parkins joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hi, Danny.
Layla, Marshall, Packer Week, Part 3. I'm going to be in the house, willing to guarantee good vibes. I'm feeling great about it. First Bears game I will have attended since the double doink.
What the hell did you just say?
It's
going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm down.
I will be sitting first row behind the Bears bench.
Oh my God.
First row, 50-yard line.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
I will be wearing a very elaborate Bears robe and outfit that Fox is providing for me. And we'll be bringing the vibes.
In a robe?
It's a very nice robe.
I mean, I don't even know what I'd do with all that money.
I know what you'd do with all that money. Hey, Pam, let's buy expensive bathrobes and hug.
If you're wearing the robe, I want like a robe and a matching crown. But like, Are you just doing robe sunglasses where you have like some adornment atop your dome?
I need something to warm myself.
Okay.
I'm not tough.
How tough are you?
How tough am I? How tough am I? I had a bowl of nails for breakfast this morning.
Yes, so?
Without any milk.
Right this way. Sorry to keep you waiting.
But also, help me. If you say the word doink at that game,
yeah,
we
that.
Can't mush this, Danny.
I'm not here to talk about the past. I am here to talk about the future.
My future is so bright, Jim. Jim, do you know how bright my future is? It's so bright that... Is there something I gotta wear? Huh?
Goggles?
I have something else for you guys.
Oh, please, by all means.
One person on the team said to be quiet when our offense is on the field.
Man.
If 500 people who are going to be at the game are listening to this, tell your section to shut the hell up when Caleb Williams is on the field.
Now you know how I feel sitting next to those M&Ms all day.
Well, why don't you just move the M&Ms?
Well, why don't you shut up?
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. The
Score. I have to be honest. I still do not feel good about the idea of Danny Parkins going to his first game since the double doink. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and I'm just going to let you sit with that and see how you feel about it, too. And Marshall Harris joining me today. Mark Grody will join us from Hallis Hall with the latest there at 12:25. And in the meantime, as we do this dance for the third time, and this time is the most special now that it's the playoffs, I always like the concept of going behind enemy lines. You know, it sounds very SportsCenter. It's a segment we do in sports. You know, it's something we look in on. We check in on the other team.
I prefer... Behind the cheddar curtain. I'm just saying what you said earlier was perfect.
Why you got to bring cheese into this? No, that makes absolute sense. Oh, the foam party hat went away. The cheese grater foam party hat. It was sitting in our studio and now it's gone.
You know, people would just be taking things and acting like things just walk away on their own.
Absolutely. All of those things. I'm pretty sure that's why we have four mugs sitting over there as well. But behind the main lines, cheese, behind the cheddar curtain. I don't know, the Bong Recreation Area, whatever you want to call it.
Bong Recreation Area?
Yeah, that's what you pass once you go up to Milwaukee.
Oh, we have it returned.
Oh,
this is actually
we
perfect.
Could do that to the bear.
This is actually perfect. Hold on. Yeah, you got it? That works.
We might be getting too much flair in the office.
Those things is too much flair. I've seen Office Space a bunch of times with the sound up and with the sound off.
When Lou Kennels comes in studio, right now I won't be able to see him, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Let me move that because you're right.
We have a foam party hat. It's a cheese grater.
I'll just put it upright right here.
But I do like to creep on what other people are doing. I do like to go behind enemy lines. I do like to drive by the Bong Recreation Area up to Milwaukee. I like to see what's what. You know, I want to see what's going on up there, so to speak. And while the Bears here are talking about the concept of being playoff ready, and they're talking about five more games, and we had the chant a couple days ago, Packers seem real keyed in on Saturday. And they seem very confident. They don't sound like a team who's lost four games in a row.
They seem like a team that has hit the reset button because they really did have a week of rest. The starters were rested. They did lose four in a row. Micah Parsons being gone, it's become a different team. They got ran through by the Ravens between now and then. They saw an onside kick not go their way after dominating the Bears for, 59 minutes? So I understand why the Packers have a very different attitude after having been to the playoffs multiple times than the Bears do as they're returning to the postseason for the first time in half a decade. I get it. I also understand why they think they're better. At this point, I think they're better.
I think Matt LaFleur's natural state is unbothered. Like, he's not the guy who's going to let you see any sort of fissure, you know, or any sort of inconsistency in the armor. You know, you're not going to see that at him. There's no crack in the facade. But we've listened to a lot of Jeff Hafley, especially the last month or so, when you consider how many times the two teams have played each other. And I'm always curious as to what he says because I respect him as a defensive coordinator. And frankly, he's going to tell you what he's doing and you're going to know. And it's still your job to stop it on the other side. And then it was also open locker room time in Green Bay. So there were some things that were discussed.
They're a little too open, huh? Or maybe not.
But that's my point. Like, this is a team, and this is a team who lost four games in a row, yes. But we know that's a big asterisk when it comes to having to have your backup quarterback back play for two whole games, a half of another one. This isn't a typical situation and scenario. They purposefully rested their starters. And once you consider that there is a little bit of a dance there between Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur, that perhaps when he said we play our starters, we're a football team, we play football, that maybe it wasn't a knock on the Eagles like I thought, because that was the team trying to get the two seed alongside you. But perhaps it was Green Bay.
I understand why Green Bay rested its starters. I understand why Ben Johnson played his, because they need to get better at football. The only way you get better at football is by playing football. Matt LaFleur knows what he has, right? He understands his team and has them playing at the level that they've been playing. Ben Johnson, in his mind, is still working with players who are trending up, because they're still learning his system. It's the end of the first year, but it's still year one under Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah. And that said, that's why I feel like this is still, to me, a bonus for whatever you get with success. Then there comes the granular, oh, these are winnable games. Here's how X, Y, and Z. They could have won if they had done this. But the point is, all of it overall, still a bonus, in my opinion, at least after watching 2-10 game losing streaks in the past couple of years, them qualifying for the first overall pick, them getting it the next year, all of that. I feel much more confident. It's kind of like our conversation yesterday, right? Out of all the coaches who could be on the hot seat in the NFL, Matt LaFleur, theoretically one of them, if the Packers don't win because of the playoff expectation, even though his record is 3-5, I'm confident in Ben Johnson. So I'm confident in that. This is still very much in the beginning stages for me. But what I heard from the Green Bay Packers yesterday did not indicate a team that has lost four games and is playing with that kind of, I wouldn't say urgency in mind, but listen to the confidence, for example, out of Christian Watson.
I definitely wanted to play the Bears. If I had my pick, you know, for any team, it would have definitely been the Bears. I want my get back for sure. We get a chance to put the Bears season to bed. That means a lot to us for sure.
He wants his get back. And you know what? For the Packers, and I realized this after listening to that locker room sound, after listening to Jeff Hafley, Matt LaFleur, they sound like the Bears sounded going into week 18, going up against a Lions team where they wanted to prove like that, that's not who we are, what you saw back in week two. Now the Packers are telling you, we won the first game. In our minds, we should have won the second game, and what happened at the end of that second game is not who we are. And not only do we get a chance to avenge that loss, but we can send our bitter rival home for the rest of the season? Yes, I understand, Christian Watson. The confidence comes from the fact that you trailed for how long? Oh, wait. You never did trail until the final play of the game.
Well, and Jeff Hafley spoke to that very thing.
I think we had a good 59 minutes in the last game that we played him, truthfully. But I give them credit. After they got the onside kick, they went down and scored, and then they hit the big play. So I thought we had a good game plan. I thought our guys executed. I thought we executed in that Bears game for the majority of the game at a really high level. I thought we played physical. I thought we stopped the run. I think the third down, we were extremely efficient getting pressure on the quarterback. And I thought our guys did a good job. But to answer your question, that's not good enough, right? I said 59 minutes. I didn't say 60. We have to finish for 60 minutes. And that's what it's going to take to beat the Bears. And that's what it's going to take to win a playoff game. So whatever we have to do, whatever adjustments we have to make throughout the game, we got to finish it. We got to start fast, but we need to finish. And clearly, we didn't do a good enough job the last time we played them.
Unbothered. Does that even sound like a guy who wants his get back? He's like, no. The next logical conclusion is that my team is winning this game. That's how he sounded.
When you only give up 126 yards in the first half of a game, and you feel like, even though your offense isn't doing much, but you held them scoreless, I get where Jeff Hafley is coming from.
71 in the game prior.
Exactly. So from his standpoint and from the Packers' point of view, they're like, yeah, we beat them straight up. Yeah, they made a comeback, but unlike all those other teams, the first game I'm saying, they weren't able to finish it off. Now in the second game, they needed a freaking onside kick to do it.
Well, I was going to continue my thought in saying this, is that you sound real confident. And you can say it was 59 minutes and you lost in the first game. But you forget that it took an interception in the end zone in the one previous to hold on to the game before that. That the fourth quarter has more weight in this algorithm because the Bears make it have more weight. The Bears do more in the fourth quarter. It's the opposite of the Bulls game last night.
Oh, man.
What we saw in the last two games against this team were the Bears making adjustments and the offense being successful. And remember what happened in that first game where Ben Johnson said, we didn't make halftime adjustments. Okay. I could understand also why a team you faced twice in a season and theoretically now three times, maybe you were preparing for that as well. I could understand why you don't want to give that up, or maybe that's something you don't want to say. And remember what he said? And he said that instead, it was the three-yard runs and the two-yard runs were going for 4 and 5. But we know they didn't run the ball enough in that first half. We know they weren't productive enough with it in the first half. But then to have the defensive coordinator, who really is an extension here when it comes to tone of Matt LaFleur, and Jeff Hafley has every reason to be confident in his defense, even without Micah Parsons, because of how successful they were at least pressuring Caleb Williams. And at least defending the run to the extent that they did and holding them to those bad totals in the first halves of each game. You sound real calm. Aside from your record showing that you did lose 4 in a row going into this. As much as Bears fans didn't want to lose 2 in a row going into this, where would you be mentally if you knew you had lost 4? Regardless of who was playing.
Do you feel like the Bears' comeback was more the Bears being optimal or the Packers falling off? That's really what this kind of comes down to, whether you're talking about the 16 points in the fourth quarter the last time or the 18 second half points they gave up in the first meeting. Was that more the Bears playing like the Bears are supposed to play or the Packers defense slipping?
Well, 847 makes a good point here. You can call us and text us 312-644-6767. The 847 says, Matt LaFleur knows his team. A team who lost to Philly at home, only scoring 7 points. A team who lost to Cleveland. And yes, those things are true. It's also a team who beat the Bears in the first meeting and almost beat the Bears in the second. And that's where the difference is. The devil is in the details here. And you're right to talk about that Lions game, Marshall, because as much as the Bears wanted to prove they were different and wanted to send a message, and I would imagine that Ben Johnson would have wanted to beat his former team in Week 18 based on what happened in Week 2. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. And I hope that that momentum and that anger and that uneasiness feeling, the energy that Ben Johnson had after that game on Sunday, gets carried right on through to Saturday when the clock hits zero at the end of the game.
In a way, I'm glad that this game is Saturday, not Sunday. Less time between games, because like you want that intensity, that disgust, if you will, that Ben Johnson was not only feeling. You could feel it just in the room if you're, you know, David Hall or Dan Weider, but also in that locker room and the way they've been talking ever since. You want to make sure nothing is lost between Sunday and Saturday.
No, and meanwhile, we may have identified Bears enemy number one. It's usually public enemy number one, but I feel like that's coded in some way. So we're going to go with Bears enemy number one because that's more detailed. So it's a story arc that many people have followed on film. I think the referees let one thing slide, and he's talking real strong. More from the Green Bay Packers. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. As I mentioned, Mark Grody will join us with the latest from Hallis Hall at 1225. We broadcast live through The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Hit us up. Call us. Text us 312-644-6767. You can join our conversation. And we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. We are also on YouTube at 670 The Score. Our video and social team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, and Cody Westerlin helping us out. So let's listen to who I think is Bears enemy number one. I don't know why you would have any other option here, but he's talking real strong. We'll do that next.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen to Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Else? Playoffs mean a lot. But for me, y'all, it's my, you know, I got to get back to it. I gave them, they gave me. It means a lot to me, so I'm ready to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present Bears enemy number one. I think it's Keyshawn Nixon. Think about how the game has been in his hands in the last two games and the last two times these two teams met. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And let's go back to the first game where Keyshawn Nixon intercepts Justin Fields. Justin Fields, what the hell? Intercepts Caleb Williams to end the game. I'm not going to lie, your sneeze distracted me a little bit. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Just
I saw you like do the shirt cough, well, yeah, and then I was like, oh no.
Not spread germs, you know.
And also, we did talk about Justin Fields in our pre-show meeting.
Well, because I'm still laughing at Brad Biggs bringing up the 2-year anniversary of the Justin Fields signs. All right, so that is going to sit in my head all day today for no reason.
He said on Mully and Haw, he said that he thought maybe that could have been Packers fans putting those signs up.
The whole thing was really ridiculous. We should just play it for reference at some point. But getting back to this part of it, the game has been in Keyshawn Nixon's hands. Intercepts Caleb Williams to end the game in the first game. You know, the one Jeff Hafley doesn't want to admit that the Packers may have not been playing for all of the minutes well in that game. It took an interception in the end zone for the Packers to maintain and hold on and win. Then there's the game where DJ Moore and Keyshawn Nixon are battling in the end zone, and in overtime, DJ Moore makes the catch. Then there's also the video that we've seen of Nixon clotheslining DJ Moore over the middle way after the whistle is blown on a play earlier in the game. I believe it was in the first quarter. And I don't know how you don't look at that guy after knowing that the matchup seems to come down to him. Either the Bears are keying in on him or he's keying in on them. And that ends up being the result. He's Bears enemy number one.
Okay. There's no argument over here. He's clearly elevated himself, and he's grabbed that title, that bull by the horn, said, we're going to ride this throughout the end of the season, and the end of the season could be this week for him. But I like a little animosity. I lied. I love a lot of animosity between teams when it comes to sports. And I think Keyshawn Nixon, not only through his actions, but now he's out here adding insult to injury, or at least trying to. I like that he's embraced it, and now he has a bullseye on him. And I'm very comfortable with that.
We know that one of the things the Bears do is they hunt coverages. Especially, that's partially why you'll see one play in the first quarter come back again in the fourth, a la Colston Loveland, when the Bengals game happened, you know, that play that they were hunting a particular coverage. They even did it in the Lions game last week. We know that's part of their strategy. So it would make sense that if you're looking for Keyshawn Nixon, if you think he is somebody that you can go after, and there are Packers fans who feel like he is, then to me it would make sense as to why he becomes that person. The foul, though, that wasn't called on DJ Moore, the late hit over the middle, that was unacceptable. But the real get back was DJ getting back at him and battling, and he was draped over him. You could argue that would have been DPI, defensive pass interference, in the end zone.
Oh, I don't think it was an argument. I think the ref just did not call it. It was definitely defensive pass interference. You could see in real time or on the replay.
Right. And it would, Bears would have declined because DJ ended up catching the ball. But if he didn't, you sure take the penalty because the game cannot end on a defensive penalty. So, therefore, I think it might come down to him yet again, or at least whatever matchup, wherever he is on the field, that might be something the Bears try to take advantage of and use to their advantage.
Layla, clearly he wants it to come down to him. That's the last time he was on the field with the Bears. He wants another shot to have a moment like he's had in each of the last two games to be the difference maker one way or another.
I already know that people are getting fired up for this. Like, I already feel the temperature starting to rise a little. 815 on our text line. Nixon didn't intercept the ball in the first game. Caleb handed it to him. Sir, that's not how it went. But if you need that to get fired up for Saturday night, I'm not going to take it away from you.
People texting saying he is a nobody.
Well, he was somebody in this game. The last two games. That's the point. When the game has come down to his matchup both times. And frankly, he should be responsible for 15 yards after that late hit, which was ridiculous.
Also, can we not be these revisionist histories? Okay, like, I understand people are in their minds are saying, well, the Bears had a chance to beat them twice. The Packers also had a chance to beat them twice. Like, it's not this simple thing that, like, oh, the Bears are better than the Packers because they beat them once and they had a chance to beat them in the other game until that interception.
Well, the Packers are claiming that because listen to how they talked about it.
But I think both sides are right. But if you just go by who was in control of the game each game, it was the Packers. Let's be very clear about that. And the Bears, true to their identity in 2025, I don't know if this is going to be a Bears thing as long as Caleb Williams is the quarterback or whatever. We're hoping more consistency on the front end to match what happens on the back end with the second-year quarterback.
Would do a lot for this game.
So you talked about the fourth quarter being more important than the first three quarters because that's it. That's the end. I think people need to understand if you're in control of a game for three quarters, you have a good chance of just winning the game.
Well, and that's why I bristled the first time when Ben Johnson said, oh, well, we didn't make any adjustments and the runs we were getting were just more effective. I don't necessarily agree with that because you were running the ball to different places. You were calling different plays in different orders. There were still adjustments that were made. And if you didn't adjust, your team did. And I don't think it necessarily has to be like some big speech at halftime or what happens. And you and I both know, having spent time on sidelines, the in-game adjustments happen during the game. Unit gets off the field, defense, whether you're sitting with, say, the secondary, you all talk about what you're seeing on the bench. A good team communicates during the game. So that happens. But when it came to the concept of, oh, we didn't do these things. No, you did. You called different plays. You had different stuff working. And I know you don't want to back off of your game plan, and I'll give it to you because I'm also petty. But both of these teams, there are so many different ways you can call out individuals. Like, for example, the discussion on Green Bay's side is Austin Booker with the hit on Jordan Love. You know, we're talking about Keyshawn Nixon on DJ Moore. They're frustrated with their defensive line outside of Micah Parsons. We respect Rashawn Gary. He hasn't had a sack since game 9. There are so many ways that this is a similar conversation for the fan bases of these two teams.
I love this. 708. In control the entire game? I mean, they had to lead the whole game. Like, isn't that what... Okay.
Apparently, Caleb physically just walked over to Keyshawn Nixon and gave him the ball in the end zone.
I love 6-3 on the text line, though. I wanted to come down to Nixon, too, LOL. Yes, I think we'd all be comfortable with Nixon trying to guard, you know, a number of receivers on the Bears we feel like could position themselves to beat Nixon to a football.
Well, and that's the point. I think the Bears want it to come down to Nixon. But he seems to be very Jaquan Brisker about the whole course
of
events.
That's a great comp. That's a great comp.
The similarities are wild with these two. Listen to Keyshawn Nixon talking about wanting to play the Bears in the first round.
I didn't want nobody else. I wanted the Bears. I just, you know, however it felt, it was going to fall. If you had to go to Philly, it was going to Philly. But I'd rather play the Bears first. I need to get back. That's just what it is.
He's very specific in what he wants, and he's getting what. Be careful what you ask for. Is that not the cliche that so many people talk about? You know, they're the 2 seed. They have home field advantage. It is my belief they will need home field advantage. But here's the thing. Home field advantage against this team specifically isn't the same as home field advantage against some of these other wild card teams, because guess what? The Packers are very comfortable at Soldier Field. They've shown you that.
So I said Bears enemy number one is Keyshawn Nixon. I think Packers' enemy number one might be Austin Booker. Listen to Josh Jacobs talk about when Booker took out Jordan Love.
A lot of guys took that hit that he took a little personal, you know. So I'm not saying we're going to go out there and play dirty or nothing like that, but we're definitely going to defend our brothers.
I mean.
Spider-Man meme.
What's he about to do? When he says we're definitely going to defend my brothers, what does that mean?
That on 3rd and 1, nobody wants to tackle you and you go for 21 yards? That's the one I cannot have.
Huh.
That's the play that I cannot handle. That is what's going to fry me on Saturday if it happens again. I need one of you dudes to tackle in that scenario again.
224 on the text line. Perfect summary of like the way I think most people, either they do feel or they just should, if they're logical people. He says, I just think the edge goes to the Bears. I'm sorry, wrong text. This game will be a lot easier to win if the Bears simply come out and grab a 2-score lead and the defense is aggressive. It doesn't have to be the way that it's been the last few weeks. Layla, how long have we been saying that?
If only I had the confidence that it would be able to make it that simple. Yes, I agree with you. The problem is it hasn't happened like that. Ben Johnson wants it to happen. Caleb Williams has been on the record saying he's wanted it to happen after games. He doesn't, I don't think, necessarily like the whole comeback king, although he's good at it, but you want to play not comfortable, but you don't want to play where you always have to feel like you're coming from behind every time. No, just, no team wants that.
Just be consistent. Bears offense, be consistent. Don't make the mental errors early. Caleb Williams, don't sell a ball early. There's so many different ways you can say what you've seen is unacceptable, and that is either coming out flat early in the game or just being inconsistent or 3 and out, penalties. And they've cut down on the penalties, to be fair. But a penalty is usually pre-snap, a mental mistake. And there were mental mistakes that were not penalties in the last game that they played against the Lions. They just need to be dialed in and focused. If I say it like this, if the Bears play their best game and the Packers play their best game, it should be a high-scoring shootout at the end where the Bears get a turnover and that's why they win the game.
Yeah, I mean, before I go into predictions, I do also want to talk about just the elements surrounding the emotion coming into this. Like, we've heard the Packers be very specific when it comes to who they wanted to play and why and how. That hasn't necessarily been the tone of the Bears locker room. For them, it's more about being able to win 5 games. It's knowing
four.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the point is 5 weeks of play, being able to focus on the entirety of the playoffs, getting into that mode, getting into that mindset. Caleb Williams said he's played in big games before. Audio-wise, didn't seem to bat an eyelash from what I heard. And I said, well, college is not the same as the NFL playoffs. And we don't get to see the NFL playoffs a lot. It's been 5 years since I last saw the Bears in a playoff game, and it's one that I would like to forget. 2 years prior to that, it was one I would like to forget. The last playoff win is in 2011.
Against the Packers. They lost to the Packers in a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and this is the biggest game since then to me. Am I wrong in saying that?
Because the playoff game rivalry? In 18 was massive. The fact that they're playing again, but for whatever reason, the Bears rivalry part of this is not as loud as it's coming from Green Bay. And I don't know if it's entirely because of the last game that Green Bay lost in overtime when they had to go to Soldier Field, so that's their freshest memory. You lost four games in between then. Well, part of it, I guess. Lost four games as part of it.
I think in their minds, they lost to better teams, though, than the Bears in those games, the other losses.
Well, now it's time for them to prove it. But it is really funny to me, all the similarities, including the reasons for the get back and vice versa.
I love that the get back has become universal, and now everybody understands what the get back is.
Yeah, if you didn't know before this week, now you know. Join the Score and Circus Sports Illinois tomorrow at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Spiegel and Holmes will be live there from 2 to 6 p.m., for playoff football talk as Chicago prepares for another rematch against Green Bay, just in case you needed the matchup again. Plus, you can win Chicago sports tickets from Circus Sports Illinois. That's tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. So we get to go live to Arizona next, don't we, Ray?
Oh, yeah. Big game.
Jared Payton's repping the U out there. Our weekly conversation with Jared Payton about the playoff game and the college football playoff tonight. Coming up next on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Jared Payton.
My name is Jared Payton, and I am here to motivate you today.
Former NFL running back.
Jared Payton wearing his father's number, number 34, and looking like the old man. Look at this run. A gorgeous job by Jared Payton.
The son of sweetness.
There's Walter with his Cubs jacket on, and here he comes.
Sports anchor for WGN.
You know me. I'm the resident running back.
Jared Payton with Rahimi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
That'll wake you up. Shout out to Uncle Luke. Shout out to Two Life Crew. Shout out to Jared Payton, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Jared Payton in Arizona. Are you going to watch your alma mater play tonight?
Layla, I am so ready right now. Man, we just got off the plane about an hour ago. I'm with my daughter. She's excited. She's got her nails painted with the U on her fingernails. She is like ready to get my 305'd out tonight. And man, we're getting an opportunity to watch my Canes tonight to take on Ole Miss. So hopefully I can bring home a dubbed tomorrow and then get the dub on Saturday as well with the Bears. That'd be the perfect end of my week.
Teach them young, Jarrett. Don't teach them to be like these kids who don't care. The U on the fingernails while doing the U with the hands is a flex.
That's what I'm talking about. You already know, Layla. What's going on with you guys, man?
We're trying to figure it out, Jarrett.
Marshall, stop, man. Layla brings the energy. You over here sounding like someone stole your lunch money. What's going on, man?
First of all, I hope Miami beats the absolute tar out of that school up north because, you know, I am a Mississippi State graduate.
School up north?
Yeah,
Ole Miss is the school up north.
But it is. We don't say it's the University of Mississippi, first of all. I don't give into all that other crap. Yes, good luck to your team tonight. Do you feel like there's a distinct advantage? And I'll tell you why I'm down, but do you feel like there's a distinct advantage because that team doesn't have a head coach?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something there. They scare me a little bit, though, Marshall, just because of everything that happened with Lane Kiffin, and it just seems like they're re-energized. Offensively, they're a good football team, and so they can put up numbers and score points. And the only thing that I love at this time of the year, and it's just football in general, is that if you have a defense that you have a chance to win any game. And so that's where I look at Reuben Bain and these guys. They got an opportunity to get after the quarterback. And when you're taking down teams like Ohio State and Texas A&M, you got to be able to win in the trenches. And I think both sides of the ball with this Miami team this year, Mario Cristobal has done a really, really good job of making sure that they can dominate on both sides of the football. And so that's what gives it me a little bit more hope going into this game, as good as that Ole Miss offense is.
Well, holding Texas A&M and Ohio State to 17 combined points in the first two rounds, they have every reason to be confident about that defense showing up.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've been really close with Mario through this whole process this year, and just staying in touch with him, talking with him. And, when we start to think about it, man, they're getting some Justin Scott is from Oak Park, and he's on that defensive line. So Mario is really taking a liking to Illinois and Chicago with the talent that we have in Chicago. And so trying to get more kids to go to the 305, be out there in the sunshine, play some football. And we got another kid going too as well from South Elgin, this kid Gavin Mueller, a tight end. So he's going to be going down to Miami. He's actually already there. So a lot of kids from Chicago going down to my old stomping grounds and enjoying life in shorts and t-shirts and sunshine.
All right, so you want to know, let's get right to it, Jared. First off, quick question. Who do you have more faith in winning their next game, the U or the Bears?
Come on, Marshall. Why you got to do that, man? Why you got to do it? I'm picking both. I feel confident in both, honestly. I don't know. Probably a little bit more confident in Miami winning, but I still think the Bears at the crib, man. This playoff football at home in Chicago, the weather seems like, just listening to Demetrius Ivory talk about the weather and how it's going to be on Saturday, man, it could be a nice little muddy track with the snow and rain combined, whatever it is, to really get this ground game going with Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift. I think that's where this game has to start. They have to find a way to copy and paste that same game plan from the Philly game into this matchup.
And that's the issue right there, the Philly game. Yeah, that's the last time I believed in this team, was watching them in Philly. Ever since then, I'm like, where is that offense that you're talking about? And it's like, it comes down to two things. Can they replicate what happened against Philadelphia, which was a fine performance, their best of the season? And can they stop anybody? Show me evidence they can stop someone.
Yeah, I was having this conversation this morning, though, Marshall. That always is going to scare us, and I think as Bears fans, we know that. We all watch this team, and there's sometimes you get scared a little bit about, even last week against the Lions, you were thinking, can they stop anyone? But lo and behold, though, you guys, those two first drives, they held them to field goals. And so it's on the offense to be able to take advantage of that opportunity, knowing that your defense at some point, they're going to give up yards. But they gave up less than 20 points. So, I mean, they give up a bunch of yards. But when it comes down to being in the red zone, when they tighten up a little bit, they figure it out. And they're doing this without a true pass rush, getting after the quarterback, getting sacks. So, yeah, it scares me a little bit. But I wanted to mention this too, Marshall. If they can not only replicate, copy and paste that Philly game, but even what they did in late in the third and fourth quarter in the first game when they played that NFL team from up north at their place in Green Bay. So if they can run the ball like that and not just run the football, I want to see both those running backs, like in Philly, getting into the end zone as well. So you're capping off these long drives with touchdowns, and you're demoralizing that defense, and you make them feel. Because if you look at that Green Bay defense, they're susceptible to the run. You can run on them. And so it's like, can Ben Johnson find a way to really just hone in on what got you here and what's been your strength all season? It's been that offensive line, especially the interior, and your running backs behind there, play action off of that, of taking shots down the field. So if you can establish that run, it changes up what that defense has to do against you, giving those opportunities to take shots down the field that Caleb has, when he gets that man-to-man coverage, he has an opportunity to be able to take those shots.
Well, and Jared, you brought that up. I don't understand why they get away from running the ball to the right side of the field. It's been successful. It's their most successful side. The stats show it. And even when they did it last week against Detroit, they had success.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Layla. I'm more just concerned about why it's not run heavy just so early. It's their bread and butter. It's what got them here. And what we were just talking about, it doesn't matter what level of football you're talking about. If you can run the football, especially at this time of the year, it gives you a chance to win. It really does. It gives you a chance to win. I'll never forget that Philly game, Marshall and Layla, when they were running the football. They were panning to Eagles guys walking off the field, and they were just like, "Dog, we can't stop this. we're tired, man." Like, and then the offense wasn't doing what they were needed to do for them. So then they're back on the field again. And they're like, "All right, y'all ready again? Like, let's do this again." Like, it hurts defenses' souls if you are just catching blocks and getting pushed back. Like, you don't want to do that all day. At some point, you want to be able to, like, all right, can we stop this? But if you keep doing that, man, that is a recipe for success. And especially the way that it seems like the weather is going to play and what their strengths are, I run the football. I just want to see more, just mix it up. Outside zone, I want to see some stretch plays and just, like, get that defense going. And when you have guys like Swift who can cut back and press it, get to the hole, and then get back north and south and stay there. Like, that's where you start to see them having fun. And these offensive linemen want to do that. They hate pass blocking all the time, man. Them big hogs want to get out there and run, man. But do what they love to do. Get yourself a win and stay in this dance, beating your arch rivals, moving on to the next round.
Yes or no, Pappy Van Winkle coming up this month or nah?
Hey, listen, if the Canes win tonight and the Bears win on Saturday, I think I'm going to pop the top on one of them, man. So, Marshall, just stay in your DMs. I'll let you know where we're going to be at.
Hey!
I like that. I like that.
In the words of Uncle Luke, I want to rock right now. Jared Payton, have fun tonight.
Thank you, guys, man. I'll talk to you later. Bear down.
Bear down. We love it. Jared Payton, the WGN TV sports anchor, as you guys know. You can catch the Sports Office on the free WGN Plus streaming app on your smart TV weeknights. It is live at 7:30. The GN sports crew will break down the biggest stories in Chicago sports with a laid-back vibe as they hang out in their corner office. And good luck to Jared watching Ole Miss and Miami tonight. I do like Miami
School
in this
up
game.
North, yeah.
Up north. The fact that you call Ole Miss the team up north. When
Oxford,
I think
of
the team
of
up north, I think of, like, Canada.
It is what it is.
I love it. Coming up next here on Raheem Harris and Grody, we get to talk to Chris Sims. He works with Mike Florio, of course, on Pro Football Talk. The former quarterback, I know, will have a lot for us as we get ready for the Bears and Packers game, and we'll join him next.